The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
I'm April Arnold from Columbia, Maryland, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 395 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on this show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Recovering from a very challenging 10K. I know that 10Ks should not be challenging, but it was challenging.
This one was challenging. Yeah, this one was challenging. Mm-hmm. I know some of our guests are going to think we're complete wusses for even saying that because they live in a place where it's a lot warmer than where we were, but it was warm, definitely warm. Yeah. So I have some shout-outs, and one of them is our friend Chad Werick, who came all the way into Boston from... Right. About, I don't know how to explain Norton. It to people from, well, we know it's Norton, but probably...
Norton!
Norton! About 30 miles away. And also, I want to give a shout out to Luis Matos, who is your buddy from, did I say it wrong?
Luis Mato.
Matos, sorry.
Mato.
And he did his first 10K, got his first medal.
First unicorn, yeah.
Yeah, and Justin Gujon, who's a Mickey Miler, who was there too, and also Sandy Began, who was supposed to be there, but family emergency called her away. So we did the BAA 10K, and it was very well run, and everything that you'd expect. So we got another unicorn.
Well, let's say one more thing. There were some Olympians who were there who were heading to Rio, and we know that they're Olympians because one of them won with an average pace.
Oh my gosh.
Of 4 minutes and 30 seconds today, so
yeah, per mile, not the whole
per mile. Per mile, 10K in 80 degree temperatures. Yeah,
and one of the highlights was the winner, though I don't know what her name is, the women's winner of the 2016 Boston Marathon was singing a song in Swahili. That was interesting.
That tells you who's been dominating the BAA.
Yeah, it was
races.
Good. She was adorable. But when I finished, they were just starting the awards ceremony, so. Was not a PR that I hoped for. But anyway, who else do we have? Not our wonderful co-host,
alas,
Chris
we
Eliopoulos.
Digress, yes. Also joining us, the master of the playlists, Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Mike. So, yeah, I've been running through. It's been way too hot. I've been sweating like crazy. But I have this telepathic ability. I can read minds. And so I was thinking of you, Mike, and I read your mind. And it came up with this band name, which I figured it was perfect. So Bare Naked Ladies in
Ooh.
1 week is their song. That
it's
I
been was, 1 week since, you know, that I, Mike, I know you're going to start singing.
It's Brian Wilson, right? Then didn't they make
no.
so close.
No.
I thought they had a song, Brian Wilson. Ooh, you better look it up.
Do they have a song, Brian Wilson?
They have a song called Brian Wilson, don't they,
but you
Chris?
You don't know the song 1 week.
I just
you mean I know something that you guys don't?
You know Neil Diamond.
Yeah. Anyways, what's the song? Did I already miss
one
that?
Week.
One week.
It's
one
been
week.
1 week. I'll play it for you.
All right, no, it's okay.
It's a great song. I'm gonna put that on my running playlist.
See,
we have other guests. We have other guests.
Okay, bring them on.
All right.
Other than Chris, why even bother?
From time to time, we have another one of our Mickey Miles podcast in more family. She's on from time to time. She's from Monorail Media. Her name is Eve Vanderpool. Welcome, Eve.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for coming.
We've missed you, Eve.
Missed
You're
you.
Just like frolicking all over everywhere with Maggie.
I'm doing quote research.
Quote unquote research. I got it. Cool.
And also joining us is the lovely Phil Vanderpool from also Monorail Media and the Marathon Show, at least for today.
That's a lot of M's.
Welcome, Phil.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you guys for coming on. Michelle, would you like me to tell everybody why we have invited Phil and Eve on?
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Well, Phil and Eve are, they live close to Walt Disney World, and they are usually the first people we turn to when something new opens, and we want to hear the lowdown. And one recently there has been an opening in Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. It was a signature dining restaurant, if you can believe it. I think it's the first signature dining restaurant that has opened in Disney's Animal Kingdom Park, and it's called Tiffin's, T-I-F-F-I-N-S, and Phil and Eve have been there, and they have been raving about it, so we thought that there was no one better in the entire world that we could call upon to tell our audience all about this new signature restaurant than Phil and Eve. So Phil and Eve, take it away. Tell us a little bit about the cuisine. Tell us a little bit about where it is in the Animal Kingdom Park, and what kind of decorations or what kind of a cuisine do you feel when you walk in?
You feel a cuisine?
I feel a cuisine.
I feel a cuisine coming on.
Take some Rolaids, Chris.
A hot 10K.
Well, I'd say for the moment, it's pretty secluded. You could walk past it very easily just because it's right where the entrance to Camp Minnie Mickey was, where Avatar Land is currently under construction. So you really have to know what you're doing to actually find it, which is kind of good because if you like it, there's always a table. But
that's good.
When Avatar Land opens, I'm sure that will change because there will be no excuse for you not to see it at that point. It's the decor. It's actually the name Tiffin's. I think it's Indian for lunch or midday meal. And you walk in and it's Imagineering overload.
So there's lots everywhere. Lots to see.
Yeah, the theme is basically all of the research that the Imagineers did when building Animal Kingdom. They've gone and taken out of the archives, and they've decorated a room. There's I think either was there three or four dining rooms.
Yeah, there are, and each one has a little bit different feel. But yeah, they take inspiration from the different areas they get cuisine from. Cuisine, there we go. The different plates
cuisine
from.
Again.
Cuisine, I know. It's just now it's just stuck in my mind. I'm going to say it the rest of the show. And so they take inspiration from there and they take art from there. But then there's also like the totems from Camp Minnie Mickey
have been
refinished. And they're in one of the main dining rooms when you walk into the right. So that's really, it's just very neat. It's very neat. I think actually it's a prime place for Dine with an Imagineer, which I expect them to.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take Chris's question away from him right now. There's a lounge called the Nomad Lounge. Have you guys, I know you guys don't usually go to a lounge, but I'm going to ask anyway. Have you been to the Nomad Lounge?
Yes.
Aha.
We've been actually
really
a lot.
Unusual for us. But, yeah.
And so, what sort of, are there specialty drinks there or how is it different than other lounges on property?
I think just the scenery it's breathtaking because the lounge basically wraps around the outside of the restaurant, and it is exactly what you'd expect when you hear the word lounge. I mean, there are just big, comfy couches, huge sprawling tables, and it overlooks the river there. And so you actually forget where you're at if you're out there, and the sun comes down, and you can see the river, and all you see really is trees, and there's the atmospheric music. It really does take you away.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And they have South African wines and beers, and there's a special beer, the Kungaloosh, which Phil, I'll let him talk about that. He really enjoys that.
The beer or the drink?
It is actually a beer that they've named after the drink.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting.
Carrying it over.
So I'm seeing, as I just scroll through on the Disney website, there is a guava margarita. There's a different type of Moscow mule. It looks like there's something called a night monkey. It looks like really fun drinks. So different margaritas, different very fruity cocktails. So it looks really nice. So do you think people can just drop in at this point?
I don't think we've had a problem getting a table or a seat in, because the lounge actually has two parts. It's got that outdoor area, but then it's also got an inside traditional area decorated pretty much like the rest of the restaurant. And we've never had trouble getting a seat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And I think that's because...
Have you guys been there for lunch or dinner or both?
Just dinner.
Dinner. We've been there for dinner twice and then, I guess, to the lounge several times.
So luscious. Is it run by Disney or is it like another, you know, like the Yak and Yeti is run by another?
Yeah, the question is, can we use tables in Wonderland?
Yeah.
You cannot use tables at this time, but it is run by Disney.
Interesting.
And that seems to be the going trend with all these new places popping up. I don't know if it's just because they haven't been into the system yet, but I mean, if you look at the Boathouse. Boathouse still isn't a participant. Morimoto's isn't a participant. So, oh wait, they are actually now.
Morimoto's is.
Yeah, they did.
They were in April. They were, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You know, the interesting thing too about the lounge is that they have small plates there, and it does give you a good taste of what the food's like inside. So if you're just looking for like a quick bite or you kind of want to just like try it before you go full board inside, they'll bring as much as they can out to you out there. They even I don't know if this is regular normal, but the one woman was like, oh well, if you order from out there from the regular menu, we can bring it to you out here. We'll do whatever we need to do to accommodate you. So if you can't necessarily get a seat inside, but you're sitting and you're ordering some of the small plates, I kind of feel like they're going to be accommodating to you so they can get that bill up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, a note to people if they find that, yeah, I'm not getting, you know, a table or I just can't get a reservation. It's not a big deal. It might be one of those things you just walk by and try out.
Michelle, they've got stuff for you. They've got marinated grilled octopus.
Which is probably the best thing.
I bet.
So good.
I'd try that in a minute.
I'm looking at the archaeologist salad, and it has one of the ingredients is pumpernickel soil. Sounds like you'll be very regular after having that.
So, Phil and Eve, what have you tried there?
I had the beet salad, which I love. It was delicious. The grilled octopus. What else?
You had the whole fish.
The whole fish, yeah. It was a yellow. It was a yellow snapper.
So you need some of the fish. You ate the whole fish.
Yeah. I devoured that thing. It was skeletal. yeah.
So it looks like the appetizers run from about $11 to $16. Worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, the octopus, we were like, we made a rule, like if we go back, we can't order the same thing. But yeah. I'm like, okay, but that's not, does not apply to the octopus.
So, you know, one of the things when I was in East Africa that I learned is that there's a big Indian population, and I can see some things on the menu like lobster, popcorn, Thai, curry soup. So there's some curry in there. What else? There are a few things that look kind of Indian, but some of the other appetizers are flash fried icy blue mussels, house made head cheese and chicken liver pate.
Mm-hmm.
We have that had that delicious. Actually. Yeah, that was amazing.
Michelle.
Not for Michelle. Oh boy.
Black eyed pea fritters.
And it looks like the entrees run from about $29 to $53. So the cheapest is like another curry, vegetable curry. And then the most expensive is the Wagyu shrimp loin and braised short rib. Mm-hmm.
Which is also amazing.
Amazing. So, just like melt in your mouth. I mean, there was silence for a good 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Is this Phil or you?
Both of us.
Both of us. But silence for me for 5 minutes is the more impressive part. So think about that for those of you who know me. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
So, Chris,
just for the halibut, you could try some.
For the hoisin glass, for the
sorry, halibut. Now I'm turning into Mike with the stupid puns. Sorry.
Yeah. You're not really punny. So
did it, I look at these dishes, they look very nouveau. Like,
yeah.
Did you feel like you were full at the end of these meals? Did you feel like it was, you know, sometimes you go to these places and you eat a meal and you just feel like you're going to roll home. And sometimes you just have a good meal and it's delicious and you feel I'm looking at a lot of this and it looks very light. Did you feel like it was worth it? Like in terms of you were filled and you moved on and it was great?
Yes. I did.
Yeah.
Thanks for the short answer. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah, the meals were very, very satisfying. I mean, I think they're portioned appropriately.
Right.
And the combinations of the flavors there. I mean, you really feel like you've had an experience when you finished.
So go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's the ticket right there, is that there's spice and and you kind of, the flavor profiles are more complex, so you have a lot of different flavors going on. So I mean, there's an interest all the way through, and the portions are correct, and like there's nothing that is too oily or too heavy. So I never walked out of there, even though I would eat like the entire fish and like all the black beans and the lentils and stuff, I never
her
felt...
mouth is watering now. I can hear it.
Yeah, dang, like I'm taking myself through it just for the hell of it. But yeah, I went through it, and I never, for the halibut. Aww. No. But yeah, I never felt like, oh God, I'm just too full. So that's important. You do get, I do feel like it's a great value for the money, because it's so memorable and the portions are great and the food is just so fresh. So it's a great experience. Given the price point, yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. I don't know why this didn't occur to me before. Maybe I'm just remembering it and it did. But, you know, when you look at the restaurants that are at a lower price point, it seems like they cater more towards the general American American tastes that everybody would bring their family. But if you look at some of these things here, like the grilled head-on prawns, I don't know why you need the heads on. But anyway, it has like sea urchin butter sauce. And I could see that would be interesting, but that wouldn't appeal to everybody. But some of the flavors are just really interesting. There's the halibut you're talking about has forbidden rice, it has bok choy, and it has turmeric sauce. So do you think that this is going to be something that is going to appeal to the general Disney park goer, or really is more of a special occasion type of thing?
I think it's definitely a special occasion type of place. But that being said, I mean, it might be because it just opened. But every time we've gone there, every table has been filled as we walk in. I mean, it gets a little slower as the night wears on. And I think an average meal takes us about 90 minutes to close to 2 hours, right, Eve?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting that you say that. Yeah, I mean, and we should mention, like, they have this this herbed focaccia bread to start with, but the cadence of just bringing the meals through and or the different plates through, it's timed so that you can really enjoy and digest each one. You're never rushed. But you know, given the, like you said, the interesting like flavor profiles and just the really specific different type of foods, everything was entirely I don't know how to say it. It was interesting, but it was something that everyone would like. You know, I mean, some of it kind of sounds intimidating if you're not used to eating that way, but it's really not, because once you sit down and eat it, it's not like you have to have an acquired taste for any of this, you know? It's a lot of the food is very warm and, you know, delicious. None of it is bitter or sour. There's no flavors that are not on the American diet or palate.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it is entirely approachable, even though it may not seem it is. It is, though.
So did you try any of the desserts? So some of the desserts are passion fruit tapioca cream, lime cheesecake, sorbet with all different types of flavors, South American chocolate ganache. That's what I would have.
That's what I have.
Yeah, calamansi mousse with mango lava and Swiss meringue. So you tried that. Did you try chocolate. And it was wonderful?
Nope. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't really met a chocolate ganache I don't like.
So. I know.
But yeah, I mean, for me, I really enjoy making ganache. I enjoy ganache. So I was like, I'm going to have that because yes. And it was right after the beef. So I feel like I just have to follow up like any kind of steak or beef with chocolate for me. It's just all about just the ultimate indulgence at that point. So.
Did you try any of the others?
No. But I will do my best next time. I will just take one for the team and try a couple.
Oh, you poor thing.
What a trooper.
I think you should go. I mean, we haven't mentioned how close Eve and Phil actually live to Disney. So they live they live near it. They live, what is it, a mile away from the Magic Kingdom?
Yes. Yeah. We were supposed to go last night to Tiffin's, but our babysitter couldn't babysit. So,
speaking of babysitters, I was going to ask, you brought Maggie?
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Chris.
No, go.
Have you brought Maggie to this restaurant and tried one of the? And I was just wondering if you had what she prefers from the kids' meals, if you did give her a kids' meal.
Phil?
Maggie will eat. Basically, she's got a very bland diet of just plain pasta when she goes out to dinner.
She is
not adventurous. She does not like to try new things, but they were able to accommodate her. And wish she could try more stuff, but she's actually very easy in that regard.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
my kids are 16. They're still like that, though.
So. Yeah, I was going to ask Chris that question, too, because you know my son's the same age, and he would never eat most of the stuff, honestly. He would probably just have the plain pasta. So, but it sounds like they're accommodating.
Yeah. Mike wants to know about the cuisine of the place. I was wondering about the atmosphere. In the middle of a park, sometimes it can still be crazy. Does it feel like it's comfortable and relaxed, or is it just kind of rush, rush, rush?
I would say you feel like you're actually transported someplace else when you walk in there. I mean, you can tell that it's a signature restaurant. I mean, everything from the decor to the music, and then the cast members working there. I mean, they're everybody's just top notch.
Top notch. Yeah. Mm.
Very cool. What's the decorations like? Is it like wooden feel? Is it like rustic? Is it?
I think there's like three different rooms and three or four main rooms, and each one of them is themed differently. So, and one that Eve mentioned before with the post from Camp Minnie Mickey. That's more of like sort of a general large dining room, and it has kind of like that wood feel to it, the bamboo.
Oh, sure.
But then there's, I think we've eaten in the Africa room, which has a completely different feel. It's smaller, it's a little bit more intimate. And the decor just changes from room to room and kind of brings you around just because it is the Imagineering research for the entire park. So you'll see influences from Asia and India, Africa. I mean, each room kind of has its own experience. So, and it kind of makes you want to go back to try the different rooms.
It is very warm and inviting, though. It really is. The lighting, they do a great job with the lighting here. They make it very, it's very dramatic, but yet inviting and warm. Nothing feels too slick or intimidating. And even when the ceilings are quite high, as they are throughout the restaurant, there is every square inch just filled with some interesting detail and some interesting story of which the staff know, or the cast members, excuse me, know a story about.
Hmm. So what about the noise level? Like, is this a place that you would go with friends to have conversation, or is it there's a lot going on?
Oh, easily, yeah. It's very relaxing. You can definitely hear the people at your table. And the people next to you, you're aware that they're there, but it's not overpowering. They've got the table space pretty appropriately.
Yeah.
And is there live music, or there's just like African music in the background?
Just background music.
Mm-hmm.
So, Phil, let's talk about the beer.
The beer is and I always forget the brewery, but Eve, what was the brewery in Miami?
Miami, yeah, Miami Concrete?
Yeah, that's right, Miami Concrete. They brew this
terrible
beer. Yeah.
I was just down there too, you know, so I know exactly where it was, but I didn't know that they made the beer for
So it's brewed specifically for Tiffin's. So that's the only place you can get it. It's named after the old Kungaloosh drink. I think this one's the Kungaloosh spiced ale. And it is basically a dessert. I mean, it's a very, very heavy beer. It's not something, you know, they would go in and feel refreshed. And I've only had it at night. I don't know if it would be as good on, say, a hot day sitting on the outside of the Nomad Lounge. But at night, I mean, it's a good experience. I mean, I think there's, you definitely feel it going down, and it tickles your taste buds because it's nothing like anything you've ever had.
Yeah, it's got sorghum in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's
sorghum and cinnamon and cardamom. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you're not adventurous, don't read the menu. Just order it and try it. I mean, it's definitely worth it.
Would you try it, Mike?
Yeah, I think actually, you know what I would try? There is a Exploration Beer Flight, so you could actually try both drafts. You could try the Kungaloosh Spice Excursion Ale, and you can also try, Phil, have you tried the Safari Amber? Have you tried that?
I have, yes. I mean, that's pretty common for the Animal Kingdom. They serve that pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They serve it in Africa, too. Safari Lager, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd try the Kungaloosh, sure. Why not?
Well, it sounds like August. A place that I might want to go. Chris, what do you think? Would you go?
Like all these places, I would go in a heartbeat. My family will not go for anything. They don't eat any. We go to Narcoosie's. We went the last time. I got like everything under the book. They all got grilled chicken and rice. So, you know, it's like they're a waste. I can't take them anywhere. I shouldn't go alone.
They're a waste.
They're a waste. What do I do with these people?
Aren't you going to be down there in like 2 weeks too?
We're going to be down there 2 weeks. I'll be at this restaurant while they're going to get like Pizza Safari, or whatever. Yeah, it's just waste. Just a waste of time to bring them down there.
Well, if we need an excuse to go down, which we don't, but
I need a couple people to join me. And
there we go.
Possibly a little child to kind of run around the place.
See you at the Nomad Lounge.
No, I'm getting that kid a babysitter. My kid's staying home. Yeah. We're going to come down and do research, all right?
Yeah, my wife will enjoy the lounge and the adult beverages. That she will do. So maybe I can grab her to come over and sit for a few minutes, and I'll try the octopus, and she can kind of like make gagging noises as well.
So for the small plates in the lounge, are there other things? I actually should just look at it. Are there other things other than... It's a smaller version of what's on the menu. Maybe you said this and I didn't understand.
They've got a taster of the Wagyu beef. Okay. They've got the chicken liver pate.
Oh, yeah, there are other things, too. Yeah, I see.
Chicken
vegetarian
wings.
Summer roll. There we go. Now we're talking.
That was good, too. Summer roll.
That was good, too, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been going crazy, and we were supposed to go again last night. And I'm like, all right, so we're going to try again. I'm going to text the babysitter again. We're going to try again.
Jeez, they got head cheese? I'm out. I'm done. Anything named head cheese, I'm done. House made head cheese and chicken liver pate. What?
The whole thing was good. It was amazing. It was so good.
Really?
That was the one thing. Yeah, Eve ordered it, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Just because I'm like you. Head cheese.
It just sounds wrong.
Not an appealing
I'll have
the
fried
there.
Boogers with a side of asparagus. Like, what?
But
right,
I was happy
with it. Tattoo. That's what I want. Kettle One vodka, watermelon, hibiscus, and lime juice.
Okay, you know, our friend Jen, who is on the running team, Jen Lowe, just had that, and she said it was amazing. She loved that.
I could make that, too. Cool.
You're on.
Yeah, come on. Let's go.
All right. Well, I think we have a new place to try out. Thank you guys so much. Continue doing that research.
Well, what's that? A Taste of Tiffin's.
Taste of Tiffin's is the desserts. Oh. So,
Sri Lankan Chantilly, and
it looks actually like some different things. Taste of Tiffin's is $10. Bold chocolate with passion fruit curd, Egyptian sea salt, Sri Lankan Chantilly, and hibiscus.
But you got to say meringue. it with an accent, like you just came out of an Indiana Jones movie, and then it would sound even more
enticing.
Chris
is going to say Dr. Jones.
Snakes.
Dr. Jones! Dr. Jones, you should try the Taste of Tiffin's.
It's not the ears. It's the mileage.
I will say this about the beef too, is that or about
stop
it
with the beef.
Monkey brains. Go ahead.
Never. I'm such a carnivore. No, really, honestly, I went to Tiffin's, and then like I think the next night I went with my girlfriend to STK, and I had the steak, and I was like, oh, this is good. But it wasn't what Tiffin's was. So Tiffin's kind of just, it ruined steak now. I'm like, oh God,
yeah,
you know,
that's
so.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Quiet, Michelle. Just, you know, take your vegetarianism and go over there somewhere.
I know, seriously.
I'll just stay in the lounge.
Go to the lounge.
I'd like some tofu, please. Well done. A little. I want to see a little pink on the inside of the tofu, you know?
I don't think you should eat pink tofu. Something's wrong with it.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, this
other
sounds,
white
this sounds great.
Yeah.
I think I would like to go when I'm there in August. Sounds
I'm sure.
Good.
I'm
sounds
sure.
Good. I think we need to have a Mickey Miles podcast meeting.
At the Nomad Lounge.
Yes.
All right.
All hands on deck.
It's a deal.
Sounds perfect.
All right. So, Phil and Eve, thank you very much for coming and giving us the lowdown on Tiffin's. I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who may have been planning trips this summer and weren't even aware of this this signature restaurant.
The funny thing is, like, I just ate dinner and I wasn't hungry, but now I'm hungry again just hearing this. Yeah. So,
we can go get some grilled octopus anywhere. We're in New England, remember?
Bring some meat.
Yeah. So
how can you be in a food coma when you haven't eaten any of this food?
So we want to thank Phil and Eve from Monorail Media, and of course Phil is also a regular on the Marathon Show. I believe you're a regular, Phil, right?
Not so much these days.
He's
just
an
irregular. We've been very lazy, but yeah.
semi-regular. And
what are you saying? You don't listen to his show?
Oh, I don't hear him. I don't hear him as often. Uh-huh. He just said they've been lazy.
He's irregular.
So, and also Chris Eliopoulos and Michelle Scribner McLean. And again, guys, thank you for the review on Tiffin's. And I know that I'm going to try it when I'm there for the Jungle Cruise Challenge, which is coming up August 19th, 20th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, or 19th, 20th, 21st, I think.
I think you know, have somebody on this podcast who might know the answer.
Yeah. Phil, when is the Jungle Cruise Challenge?
I believe it is the 20th.
The 20th is on that Saturday, the 20th, but we're
That's
August, yep. But we're also trying to possibly do something
a
day or two before. So we're hoping to, I know we'll see Phil there, and we'll be looking forward to that. And that's less than 2 months away, and we're going to try and get Becky on and talk about some of the things that we might be doing. So for Eve Vanderpool and Phil Vanderpool and Chris Eliopoulos and Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road in the parks. And at Tiffin.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.